This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. Great to be with you on 97.5, the Fanatic Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Radio, Tallahassee Sports Monster, and 107.5 Alive. We have a very special show. Two guests, Pro Football Hall of Famer Jack Youngblood and country music star Chase Rice. Jack had an incredibly strong message. We had a very short conversation back at the Super Bowl in Miami. It feels like forever ago.
I know, it really does.
Back when you can go out and congregate. I have no clue what it's...
Life was good.
Life is good now. Life is good. It's different. Yeah. And unfortunately, more and more people apparently now are getting sick, but they're getting healthy. So still praying for everybody out there who's going through it and for everything that's happening in our country. And we'll get to that. We're going to get to that. But this conversation with Jack that's going to be coming up shortly, he sums it up perfectly. And he says, I don't understand. These are his words.
That was awesome.
I don't understand. Yeah. We had a whole conversation. He was there talking about an event that was happening, and I knew he was a man of faith, and his eyes lit up. And I said, you know, what does your faith mean to you? And he's like, I don't understand why this whole world doesn't understand who Jesus Christ is and what that means. And he goes, I firmly believe, and you're going to hear this, I firmly believe that that's the only thing you should ever think about is the fact that we're all sinners. We're born that way. We didn't have anything to do with it, but we were born that way because of Adam and Eve, but that's all been settled. And he finishes with, Jesus Christ is the only way that we have to heaven. And there are so many different thoughts and faiths and religions and all of that, but we know that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven, the only way to heaven. And this week, as we're going through uncertainty throughout the country, I've heard so many people express so much anxiety on social media over the election. And as we record this episode, a winner has yet to be declared in the presidential race. And I'll be honest, we've said this throughout, and I've always said, I don't speak about politics. I don't give out opinions on politics. But I'll tell you, throughout this whole week, I've had this incredible peace. Because to me, whatever happens, happens. I don't put my faith, my hope, or trust in any politician or any political party. All my faith, all my hope, all my trust is in Jesus Christ. And nothing and no one can change that. And I pray that more people would find that same peace in him, because there's nothing greater than having that peace and knowing all of the uncertainty, all of the anxiety that some of you are having, it's already been finished. It's already been settled. God has already decided, and he knows what our future is. And I heard so many people say, well, God put this person in a position of power. Okay, if you believe that at one point, now you should also feel, well, then God's putting this person in position of power again or switching. And I don't know which way it's going to go. Again, at this point, we don't know who's going to win. And I have not wasted an ounce of thought on it, because to me, whatever happens is going to happen, yet Jesus Christ is still on the throne. And on election day, as people are posting their stickers and they're voting and all of that stuff, and that's great, that's awesome, that's what it's all about, right? Yeah. The process and everyone's voice counts and matters and it's heard. I just posted one simple thing because I felt like we needed a reminder. Jesus Christ is greater than everything else.
He is.
Everything else.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah.
And there is so much peace in that. And we have that peace.
Yeah.
You and I share that peace, and it transcends down to our children. And I love that they're being raised in this environment because now they're old enough to want to talk about, like, what's happening.
Yeah, they were actually asking us questions. Yeah. And I was like, where'd you even get the idea to ask the question? I don't even know.
I don't know.
How did that come about?
They're doing virtual school in front of us, so I don't even know where, but we're not paying attention.
Well, they were voting for like bananas or strawberries or something like that. And
they actually said that. They said there's a kids' vote and it was for different things. And that was really cool. And it was just for me, it was a teaching moment. And I said to them, whatever happens in any election today, 30 years from now, 40 years from now, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and always. And he's on the throne. And he's greater than all of this. So if our faith, hope, and trust is in him, everything else is secondary.
Listen, all I can say is I've been praying a lot. That's like, I'll just leave it at that. I've been praying a lot because we all need the prayers right now, and our country need the prayers. That's all. That's all I'm going to say to that.
This is true.
Yeah.
And prayers, no matter how you feel about it, prayers. Yeah, I always you hear people say, "Oh, I don't. We need more than prayer. Yeah, of course you need action. You need that, but
well, of course, in this particular time, you need a lot of prayer.
Start with prayer. You can never go wrong when you start in a place of prayer. And I think that's where we always talk about starting our day in prayer, ending our day in prayer, middle of the day prayer. Also, we're gonna have a great interview coming up with country music star Chase Rice, and I can't wait for you to hear this because Chase is someone I related to quickly, read a little bit about him, knew some of his story, guy who played college football, then he worked on a NASCAR pit crew, then he realized quickly, as you'll hear him talk about, like, no, I want to pursue a career in country music. And not only did he do it, he reached an incredible level. He's a superstar in country music. He was so on Survivor.
That's so cool.
We got to talk about that. But there was a song that he wrote called Jack Daniels and Jesus.
I know.
That really hit me hard. And this is it's a few years old. And we talk about it because I know the place that he was in. And I tell him that in our conversation. And there was a place at a moment in my life where I was right there in that kind of situation.
You used to drink Jack Daniels?
No, I never drank Jack. It wasn't. I always hated alcohol, so it wasn't about that. But it was.
Just to clarify.
It was in that moment. It was the year I met you, and I met you in December, and this was going through May through June, July of 2010. But in this song, Jack Daniels and Jesus, I want to read some of the lyrics. And he says, I've taken a ride in the devil's Cadillac. I've been so high, thought I wasn't coming back. And just when I thought I'm too far gone, a ringing in my head's the 23rd Psalm. I've seen the light. I've seen the darkness. Only God knows where my heart is. I've got my strength, and Lord knows I've got my weakness. I'm lost somewhere between Jack Daniels and Jesus. And I want to read Psalm 23, the beginning of it. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. So as this place that Chase was in at that particular time period of his life, he went through it and he got through it. And he's still able to, at some points, maybe he's still going through different areas of difficulty. And I get that. And in our conversation, he says, I didn't realize how bad of a place I was in. And he says, you usually don't. He goes, and he talks about, I grew up hearing about God. I grew up hearing about Jesus, but I didn't really know what any of it meant to have a relationship. But now he does.
Yeah.
And he says, I talk to God every single morning. I talk to him throughout the day. I have that relationship. But, and I love this because we say this all the time. He says, it doesn't mean I'm perfect. I'm far from it. And he talks about, I love how Jesus hung out with the worst of them. The disciples, we've talked about how, Chase's words, literally the worst people around back then.
True.
That's what, but they all had their issues, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They all had their issues. And Chase says some of the things he's done are inexcusable and unforgivable. And I have gone on record many times over saying some of the things I've done were horrible. And they were just not right to do. But I got through it because of Jesus. And I was lost, and I've been found. And Chase says the same thing. I was lost, and now I'm not lost. I'm just dumb, he said. And you know what? We're all dumb sometimes. We all make mistakes sometimes. And here's the thing. one more sentence that Chase says in this conversation that I really want you to know and just think about. He said, God put me on this earth to spread his message my way.
I love that.
Sometimes we Christians are the worst of the hypocrites.
Oh, yes.
We're the most judgmental. Mm-hmm. We think that to be a preacher or anyone who professes Christ publicly, you have to look a certain way. You have to act a certain way. Your life has to be reflective of what you're saying. But the truth is, we're not all the same. Maybe some of us are rough around the edges. Maybe some of us are going through difficult periods. We're all going to get tested.
Yeah.
And that doesn't take away from the message that God gave us to spread. Mm-hmm. And we all are spreading it your own way.
Yeah.
I spread it my way. You spread it your way. Chase spreads it his way. Doesn't diminish from the message. Mm-hmm. Doesn't take away from the message. And I think sometimes I see this, non-believers go, well, how can you be a Christian, or how can he be a Christian, and how can she be a Christian and then say this or act this way or do that? We're not all perfect. None of us are perfect. Only Jesus was perfect.
You know,
and we're going to be called out on that sometimes.
Right. You know what it is, though? And I think as Christians, we don't think about this too much. But see, Jesus is not after correcting your mistakes. He's not. He doesn't care actually about your mistakes. He knows you're going to make mistakes. This is why Jesus was here. He came to just end this all and save us. But see, the devil is after our commitment with Christ. Mm-hmm. He's not after your... He's just trying to make you make mistakes to give up on making more mistakes while your commitment is still okay. See, if I give him my commitment with Christ, he wins. So that means if I stop making mistakes, right? If I stop making mistakes and I'm like, you know what? No, that's it. I give up on Christ, you know, whatever. I'm going to stop this whole thing, whatever. Who's going to win in the end? If I continue to make mistakes while my commitment is okay with Christ, Christ wins and not the enemy. Because my commitment is my number one. And if my commitment is number one, believe it or not, you're going to continue to make mistakes. You and I are going to continue to make mistakes because the devil's going to keep coming after you. That is just how it is. The enemy's going to continue to come after you because your commitment is okay.
That's just how it is. It's so true that here we are. We've committed our lives to Christ.
Right.
It doesn't take away the fact that we're imperfect people. It doesn't take away the fact that we're going to continue to commit sin. Now, we try as we mature in our relationship, we grow stronger in our faith, we gain closer and closer and closer in our walk with Christ, mm-hmm. that we try and strive. My prayer every day is to be more like you, be more like you. I want to be more like Jesus and less like me. John 3:30, he is greater, he must be greater, I must be less. That is my prayer every day, and I say that in front of the girls. We want to be more like Christ. We want to be more like Christ. We're never going to be exactly like him. There was only one Christ.
Yeah.
We're never going to be that guy. We're never going to be that perfect. No. We cannot. But we cannot allow our imperfection to prevent us from continuing to further our walk and our relationship.
Yeah.
If we allow our imperfection to stop us in our tracks and give up and say, I am not perfect, I am a sinner, I am no longer going to walk with the Lord because it's too difficult and I can never be like him, it goes back to what you said. The enemy wins.
The enemy wins, and that's what he's after.
Yep. The enemy is trying to steal our joy.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to steal our
peace.
Your
commitment with Christ.
And stealing, and by taking that commitment away, we lose peace. And this goes back to the beginning, where I talked about so many different people are going through so much anxiety and stress and what's happening with the election and how, if you have that commitment with the Lord, I promise you, you will care about all of the stuff that you care about, but you'll have a peace and an understanding that no matter how it works out, yeah. no matter what, any bad moment. I'm not just talking about political elections or any of that. We go back to anything that we're going through. Yeah. It doesn't matter because you have that peace in Christ.
And I said commitment because commitment is an action word. Commitment, you have to do something. Mm-hmm. Commitment is not a word that just like love or hate or whatever. I mean, love is an action too, but commitment is an action. You have to be committed to something. Now, like if I'm committed to you in a marriage, that means I have to participate in that marriage to be, you know what I mean? Because otherwise we get a divorce. But it's a commitment. That means I have to every day wake up and I'm committed to you. That means I gotta put up with you. You put up with me. We love each other one day. We don't like each other the next day. Whatever. Whatever it is, a commitment. You see.
Is there a day we don't like each other?
That's not true. We're kind of obsessed with one another. It's kind of weird.
We might have a moment.
We might have moments. But yeah. yeah. But you know, like with my relationship with Christ, sometimes I get mad. Sometimes I get mad. I tell him, sometimes I'm mad. Sometimes I'm not okay with you today. Like sometimes I'm not cool. You know, we're not cool today. You know, I talk to him like that because I feel like he's my best friend. That's my commitment. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when I come to you and say, what you said today did not, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. When we talk about it, it's the same
that
thing in
quite
prayer.
Often.
He's like, if I don't like it, I'll come to, I'm very straightforward. If I don't like something, I will let you know. So when I don't like something, when Jesus doesn't answer my prayer a certain way, I don't like this right now because I kind of like my things my way. So we talk. We have to talk. Commitment takes work. And your relationship with Christ takes work. But the problem is the enemy is after that commitment. Yeah. He's after that. So when you get angry with him and things don't go your way and you question your commitment, that's what he's after. That's what he's trying to destroy. And when every single, you know what it is though? He's trying to get your stamina as well. So when you get so tired of fighting, you give up on that commitment. It's kind of the same thing with a marriage. When you're tired of fighting with your spouse because you're in opposite directions, your stamina drops. You're done. You're done fighting. You're tired of fighting. So the same thing happens with our commitment to Christ. When we're tired of fighting and things don't go our way, we give up our commitment. But the problem is, and the devil is a liar, but there is always a protection around us. There is always something that God has on your life. That even if you continue to, that just like Job, and his commitment to Christ was his number one. Not what everything happened to him, it was his commitment. And that's what we have to continue to do.
Well said. Before we go to a break and go to the next interview, I just want to say that this week, my longtime partner at the Associated Press, Jack Shore, was laid to rest, and we celebrated his life, and it was a beautiful, beautiful tribute to a man who lived 88 years, and I said this on my sports show on 97.5, The Fanatic, and I'll say it forever, never had a bad thing to say about anybody, always had a smile on his face, not a person in the world ever had a bad thing to say about Jack, one of the most beloved, one of the most revered, respected people that I've ever come across, and he was like my work dad, he called me his foster son, and he had always told me that, hey, once he started hearing me share my testimony, he said, oh, you got to come to my church, you got to come to my church, well, first time I went to his church was for his viewing, and I finally made it to his church, but it was in those circumstances. So to Jack's family, the entire Shore family, been praying for you guys, and it was great to see all of them there, unfortunately, in those circumstances, but we celebrated a great man. Up next, you're going to hear my conversation with Pro Football Hall of Famer Jack Youngblood. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desire to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hera Egg Breakfast Sandwich made with 2 farm-fresh eggs, cheese, and choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll makes your morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz & Watson premium meats and cheeses freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc., is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
This is Emmitt Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. Rob Motti with Remy. If you're tuning in for the first time on radio, you can go to faithonthefieldshow.com and find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an awesome lineup of guests. You can listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list, and we'll send you our episodes right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on all of our social media platforms. I'm at Rob Motti on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and at Real Rob Motti on Instagram. Remy is at Remy Motti. We'll let you know about speaking appearances. We'll let you know about events that we're hosting and anything that we're up to. Remy is working on an ebook, a cookbook, which is going to be phenomenal. That should be out soon. We'll let you know about that too as well. You can go to my YouTube channel and listen to some of my recent messages. I also have a bunch of interviews all in their entirety on there. So interviews with players. Maybe sometimes I only play snippets on this show or a snippet on that show. We're going to have them all on YouTube in their entirety. Jack Youngblood played 14 seasons in the NFL, all with the LA Rams. He was a 7-time Pro Bowl pick, a 5-time All-Pro, one of the greatest defensive ends to ever play in the NFL. Jack was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2001. I caught up with him at the Super Bowl in Miami, and here is part of that conversation because he said something so powerful, and I'd love for you to hear it. Jack, how has the NFL, it's changed, man. It's really changed since you played. What's the biggest, when you look at it, what stands out to you as the biggest change since your time?
Well, the biggest change, really, from a perspective of a player, and I played in 201 consecutive ball games, is the fact that the players don't play 80 plays anymore. The only one who does that is a quarterback if he's, you know, if he doesn't get injured. They take plays off. That was a cardinal sin back in my day.
Wow. Now they rotate those defensive linemen.
Well, they take two plays and they go take two plays off. That's just not the philosophy that we had. You know, I had Merlin Olsen and Deacon Jones as my teachers. And if it hadn't been for them, I firmly believe I would not have been the player that I turned out to be.
Well, Jack, now when you talk about that and you tell me how many you played in all those games consecutively and played every play, does it surprise you that guys aren't they're resting a little bit? They're supposed to have all this sports science and it's supposed to make you bigger, faster, stronger, yet they're getting hurt more.
It's because they're not in condition. They don't condition. I mean...
They don't hit training camp, I know that for sure.
That doesn't sound good, you know. It sounds a little derogatory.
Yeah.
But it's the truth. We ran 20 50s after every practice.
Wow.
And one of our mottos was, we're going to be smarter, stronger, and in better condition than our opponent every day.
You're in the Hall of Fame. There's been some talk recently that the Hall of Fame is allowing too many players in, and it's oversaturated. And I kind of agree with that. Sometimes I look at some of the guys going in, and I go, is it Hall of Fame, or is it Hall of Very Good? How do you feel about it?
Well, I think they've rectified some issues that had happened in the past, years past. And a lot of the the list that they came out with, the 20 list, a lot of those are passed. And it's a shame that we haven't put them in to the Hall of Fame if they're qualified while they were alive and with us. You know, so they could enjoy this, the aspect of you're one of the best that ever put on a job. And like, I was number 121. And you think about that, and that kind of only 121 players made the Hall of Fame in how many years? You know, 50 some odd years?
It's impressive.
Yeah.
It's very impressive. You're wearing a gold jacket. It's a prestigious thing to wear that gold jacket. Jack is a man of faith. You know, when I said that to you, I heard you say, amen. What does your faith in the Lord mean to you?
Well, I don't understand why this whole world doesn't understand who Jesus Christ is and what that means.
Wow.
I firmly believe that that's the only thing you should ever think about, is the fact that we're all sinners. We're born that way.
Yes.
We didn't have anything to do with it, but we were born that way because of Adam and Eve in the fall, and that's all been settled. Jesus Christ is the only way that we have to heaven.
The blood of Christ. He did it all. He did it all.
Amen.
Well, Jack, thank you so much, man. I appreciate that.
I love the words that he used.
Go ahead.
It's finished.
It sure is. And, you know, as we struggle with so many things in the world and we look to get help in so many different ways, that's the answer.
That's the answer. Amen.
That was Hall of Famer Jack Youngblood. Up next, you'll hear country music star Chase Rice. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show with Rob and Remy Motti.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's dairy stores now operate 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc., is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank all of our wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. They're all wonderful, awesome sponsors, so please check them out. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show, please reach out to us at team@faithonafieldshow.com. We have various packages, whether you want to be part of our radio show only on 97.5 The Fanatic Philadelphia, or 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee, or 107.5 Alive, or all three, or our podcast, or a combination, our social media. We post video clips of our interviews. So there's a ton of different ways you can partner up with Faith on the Field and help us grow the ministry. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. And if you don't have a business to advertise on, but you just want to help our ministry grow, we now have a donate button. So you can check that out. We have a donate button on our page. at faithonthefieldshow.com. Chase Rice played linebacker for the University of North Carolina. He went on to work on the NASCAR pit crew, but music was his passion. He left, pursued a career in that industry, and he's become incredibly successful. Chase has sold nearly 2 million albums. He has over 1.6 billion streams. Before COVID-19 shut down, he kicked off 2020 with headlining shows throughout Europe. He opened for Garth Brooks at Detroit Lions Ford Field. There was over 70,000 fans there. He's now since resumed touring and, of course, in a socially distanced model, drive-in and all. Chase's latest top 10 single, Lonely If You Are, was the lead track off the chart-topping The Album Part 1, which is out now. Chase also was on Survivor, so we had some fun talking about our reality TV experience. I really enjoyed this conversation. I hope you sit down and listen to it. Here's my sit down with Chase Rice.
Chase, before you sold nearly 2 million albums and you got over 1.6 billion streams, which 1.6 billion is an incredible number. Man, you were a Tar Heel. You played linebacker at North Carolina. What's your favorite memory when you think back on your years playing college ball?
Probably gonna sound cliche, but definitely just the guys, being around the guys, being around the guys in the locker room, the memories we made running out of the tunnel together. We beat Miami freshman year, rushing the field. That was awesome. They were number four in the country, I believe. So just the relationships that I have with those guys, and still have with a lot of them. I think that's the coolest part about college football is there's a bond that you don't get in many other places. So I made friends for life with a lot of those guys. So, yeah, college football to me is one of the purest, best sports in the world.
You mentioned some of the guys and you have relationships with them. A bunch of them went on, had some NFL careers. Hakeem Nicks won a Super Bowl with the Giants. He played a big role on that Giant team. Robert Quinn was a freshman. I believe your senior season, he's on the Bears. So how many guys do you stay in touch with? Do you follow their careers? What is the relationship like now?
Yeah, quite a few. Hakeem Nicks, I saw him last time. I think it was the Colts Pats back when he played for the Colts. Went to the locker room, saw him after the game. Robert Quinn came to Tortuga Music Fest a couple years ago, and he was just hanging out. I think that was back when he played for the Dolphins. So I keep in touch with a lot of them. Very few of them regularly, but if I'm in their town and I happen to see them, we got a group thread going on with a lot of Carolina football guys. We're having a good year this year. I think Carolina football's, you know, getting back, we can get to that. But, yeah, I keep in touch with a lot of them because I travel so much that I remember I told all the guys, I said, one day I'm going to be playing in your stadium, playing in the NFL. I'm going to be playing in your stadium. And my first stadium tour was with Kenny Chesney in 2015. So that dream, you know, I never got to play in the NFL, but the dream of playing in NFL stadiums has come true.
I want to take you back to November 11, 2006. Georgia Tech, you guys lose 7-0, but do you remember what was significant about that game for you personally?
Did I have a sack and a pick?
Yes, you did. Yeah, you did.
My first sack, my first pick. My football career, I remember I picked off, I think it was Calvin Johnson.
Uh-huh.
It was a receiver. Reggie Ball was a quarterback. First sack, first same game. And then my career just, it never happened the way it should have. And that's just unfortunate. And that's honestly, it's out of my control. I look back at my career, my back half of my sophomore year, I was becoming a really good player. My junior year, I was a really good player and a good leader and everything you want in a college football player. But except the second quarter of the first game, I got hurt. So I look back on it, it does make me sad about how my career went down, but it was out of my control. You can't control getting hurt, and all you can control is what you do moving forward. And what I did moving forward was learn how to play guitar. So that led me to the career that I'm in now. And I can be proud of that, you know.
You did have a pro day, right? You had a pro day. You showed out. You showed up and had a great day. Does that give you like kind of, I don't know, closure? Like knowing that I did all I could?
For sure. Because the only thing I didn't have was film. Because during the prime of my football playing days, I was hurt. And I look back on people ask all the time. They're like, wait, did you actually have a legitimate chance of playing the NFL? And I'm like, absolutely. That's not even a question. My junior year was supposed to be my breakout year, and I basically ended my career. I tried to come back my senior year, and mentally I wasn't there. My dad had just died. And physically I was definitely not the same player. That's the way it went down. If I could go back, I would have tried to be a better leader off the field, but I was young. I was being selfish, trying to take care of myself, trying to make myself get into the NFL when what I really needed to do was focus on the team. And that's just a lesson learned being young. But I did have a pro day. Yeah, like you said, I came back. I ran a good 40. Me and Akeem Nix had an unbelievable day. I think I had a better day than him. I had the best pro day buddy on our team. And the Bears and the Giants were both interested. Or no, the Steelers and the Giants, sorry. And I will say I had a horrible agent. the pro day that I had, I should have gotten a call and at least gotten into camp. And I never did, but I did everything I could do. I mean, I literally had a better pro day than Akeem Nix. You can't ask me any better than that.
Man, I think it worked out better for you anyway with what you're doing. But you mentioned UNC getting back, right? We think in North Carolina, obviously everybody thinks of hoops. Tell me about the football program and how you think they're going to get back to some prominence.
Yeah, I think Mack Brown is the key to all that. I played under John Bunning and Butch Davis. Both, I love both of them in very different ways. But with John, with Coach Bunning, we didn't win. So you got to win football games. Butch Davis, he won. And I think the university, I don't know all the details, but he should not have been fired. He was. And now we're here at Mack Brown all these years later. So I think it's a full circle that needed to happen. Mack's an amazing guy. He's an amazing coach. And he's a perfect fit for Carolina football. He's already gotten us back second year. I think we ranked fifth when we lost to Florida State last week. I think that's too generous. I think we're a top 10, top 15 team right now. I don't think we're a top five team. And obviously Florida State showed that.
I won't tell our voters, Chase.
Hey, well, you got them right where they belong right now. I think they're 13. But that's okay. I mean, we're a program. The biggest thing about Carolina football is it's a program that needs to learn where they fit in. And where Carolina football belongs is top five every year. Mm-hmm. I don't think the culture and the mindset is there yet, but I think it's getting there 100%. I mean, look at us. We're 3-1 right now with a loss to Florida State. Florida State, say what you want to say about them, they're still Florida State at the end of the day. They still have athletes. They have freak athletes all over that team. So it didn't shock me at all that we lost to them. But what we got to do is get that mindset of knowing we belong here. We belong in the top five every year. We belong in the playoff picture. And that's – if it's not there yet, and I can't speak to it fully because I'm not in that locker room, but it doesn't seem to be there yet because what we need to do is go into Florida State and Tallahassee and understand we are Carolina and we are a top five team. We belong in the playoff and we're going to earn it. And we didn't do that last week. So we earned the top 13 spot right now. So we got to continue to push forward and hopefully win out the rest of the year.
You went from college football, man, to being part of a NASCAR pit crew. What was that experience like for you? And at what point did you realize, like, you know, this is great. This isn't for me. I want to sing.
Pretty much right away. I'd written a record out of college. It was no good, but it was the best I could do at the time. I was just learning how to be a songwriter. And I was going home from the work to the hotel I was living in every single day and writing songs. So I knew I wasn't happy right away. I'd, you know, got in trouble with one of our teammates. So I took the 2 weeks and I went to Nashville to visit Brian for the first time. Brian's the full Florida part of Florida Georgia Line. And that was before they were Florida Georgia Line. We'd just been buddies from the time we were little kids, grew up playing little league soccer together, little league baseball. And so I went to visit him and that was when I really fell in love with Nashville. So I already didn't like what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I already had a love for writing songs. And then all of a sudden I fell in love with Nashville. And it was game over from that point on. I knew at some point I would have to go to Nashville and really give it a shot if I really ever wanted to do it for real.
And then you end up helping Brian out in Florida Georgia Line, writing crew. What was, you know, could you have ever envisioned a song that you put together that you're part of being such a big time hit like that?
Yeah, and I think that's the key is I'm a part of it. I'm just a small part of it as a songwriter. Brian was in the room. He was a writer on it. And it was just, that song, I mean, you can't try to do something like that, to be honest. It's just got to happen. And it did that day. You know, we wrote the song, rewrote the song. Joey Moy got a hold of it, production, Tyler's voice on it. And it was all the stars aligning. It wasn't the fact that we were that good. The stars just happened to align that day and then through the process of that song. That was crazy. But like I said, something that successful is not something you can try to do. All you can do is try to write the best songs you can and eventually stumble across something great. And that's the coolest part about art.
So between college football, NASCAR pit crew, then you end up going to Nashville. I got to tell you, my wife and I had some experience in reality TV, first season of Marriage Boot Camp. A lot of people didn't realize it. And then we started telling them, now it's 8 years removed. I can tell everybody there's not much reality in reality TV. We played roles. We played characters, had a chance to end up doing our own show, but real life got involved. We had twin girls and we decided to move on. I would think the Survivor is probably a little bit more realistic than the drama and the nonsense we did. I don't know. Is it more realistic?
Yeah. I mean, the things you do are very real. You're out there, you're starving, you're getting rained on, you're dirty, you are starving. That's the main one. It's brutal. I lost 38 pounds. So all that stuff is very real. Wow. Very good about getting drama out of the characters for sure. And everybody plays their role. I was the country guy. But at the end of the day, that's one thing I do have respect for with Survivors. You go through some tough, tough stuff. But yeah, at the end of the day, also the producers are very good about getting the drama that they need. And I had no experience going into that. The leading questions are the part that drive me the most crazy. I love speaking my mind. I love saying what I truly believe. And if I could go back and do it again, it would be a very, very different experience. If you ask me a question, I'm going to probably call you out and be like, don't ask me a leading question like that. Not going to happen anymore in my life. But it was a cool, cool thing to do. And it was a once in a lifetime experience. They've asked me back a couple times a while ago. They haven't asked me back recently. And I was like, nah, I'm done with reality TV. And then the Bachelor experience obviously happened. So my time with reality TV is officially over.
I think we were in the same boat over there, man. I want to ask you about one of your earlier songs, Jack Daniels and Jesus, because in 2010, I was going through something. I was single for the first time in a long time. I went out and partied 36 straight days. Like, I remember this because I'm a baseball guy, and Joe DiMaggio had a 56-game hitting streak. I'm like, I'm going to break it, but I can't do it hitting. I'm going to break it by partying 36 days in a row. And then eventually, I surrendered to Christ, and that's how my life just turned around. Was that a personal song for you? Were you going through when you wrote, you know, that song and performed that song? Was it something that really hit home for you?
Oh, absolutely. I didn't realize when I wrote it how bad of a place I was in, for sure. Usually you don't. And I grew up hearing about God. I grew up hearing about Jesus. I didn't really know what any of it really meant, though, to have a relationship with Jesus. And I look at it now, and I very much do. I have one every single day. I talk to God. I'll try to every single morning. I talk to God throughout the day. And I have that relationship, and that does not mean I'm perfect. I'm far from it. And that's what I love about Jesus is he hung out with the worst of them. You know, the disciples were literally the worst of the people around back then. And that's the type of people that Jesus loved to be around. And that's the type of guy that I am. I mean, the things that I've done in my life, a lot of them are inexcusable and unforgivable. But Jesus is right there every time you turn around and say, I'm sorry. So that was a very, very dark part of my life that led to the last 5 years of me getting help that I needed to get mentally. But spiritually was when it really, really turned around for me in 2017. Because I was lost. That song says lost somewhere between Jack Daniels and Jesus. I was lost. And now I'm not lost. I'm just dumb sometimes.
Well, I love how you say, I mean, none of us are perfect. And I think sometimes that's the expectation. Oh, you're a believer. You're a Christian. You're supposed to be perfect. No, we're not perfect, man. We're the only one was perfect, right? He was the only one to walk the earth perfect. So.
Exactly. The thing these days is just surrounding myself with people that can help me along with my journey, help me along with my life. And then getting out there and hanging out with others that I know may need the help that I've always needed. So, and I don't try to push it on people. If people want to talk about it though, I'm all ears.
As part of, you know, sharing that testimony, man, our mess becomes our message. Our test becomes our testimony. I love that. Another song, I really love this. I played it. So my wife is usually listening to worship songs, right? Worship music. So she wasn't familiar with Eyes on You. Right. And I'm telling you, this morning I come downstairs and I go, babe, I want to play this for you because I feel that way. Like we go wherever we go, we're looking out at the beach. And I'm like, man, I'm always staring at my wife. I'm always, you know, it's such a, so I want to share that with you. It made her cry. It made her cry this morning. This morning, sitting down at breakfast, she's crying listening to that song. So what went into that one for you?
I was dating a girl at the time. I don't know when I wrote that, 2017 maybe. And I had in my notes, Ashley Gore was playing the piano that morning, that same part, the dun, 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 that part. And I was looking through my notes. I was like, what sounds like that? And I saw Eyes on You. And then I remember writing the note. It was just like, travel the world, but you miss it all because your eyes are on her. And that's a love that I don't think I've found yet. I'm not sure I'll ever find that particular type of love, because I think that particular type of love is just, it's almost like it's earned every day. You have to, sometimes you even have to work at it. You can be pissed at somebody, but no, you still love them. So that for me is something I'm still working on, but that's very much a love that I think that I don't know about everybody else, but I've stopped trying to guess everybody else's lives. But I know for me, that's the type of love that I want down the road. I want that. I'm not really there yet right now in my life, and that's okay. But that's definitely the type of love. I'm jealous of you and your wife. That's the type you want, the one that you look at all the time. And that's what that song's about. And hopefully I'll live it, you know, fully one day.
Well, man, I didn't meet her until I was 36. She was 26. So you still got time, man.
I'm 35. I'm telling my mom, she's on me a little bit. And I'm like, Mom, I want to get married in my 30s. I'll get married in my 30s. And I got 5 years left, so I'll figure it out.
Nah, you got this. You talked about playing on football fields, playing in stadiums. And before COVID hit, you guys, you opened for Garth Brooks, 70,000 plus fans at Detroit Ford Field. You mentioned a little bit earlier about, you know, being that kind of environment. When you're out there, right? When you're out there, do you ever think of football anymore? Or like, you're in a zone. This is what I'm doing now. This is what I'm... Honestly, man, this is what you're called to do. This is your purpose.
Yeah. No, I don't think about the game. I think about missing the guys for sure. Like I said, I love the game, but my body hurts so bad as is. I'm like, man, I'm kind of glad I didn't have to keep playing this game. And for back then, it would have been get to keep playing this game. But now I'm like, all right, I'm kind of glad it ended when it did, especially with head injuries that I had. But I do think about it for sure. I'm like, a guy brought it up to me and I was like, man, I never got to play NFL in the NFL. And that was in 2017. He said, wait a minute, you just told me you played with Kenny Chesney in 2015. Where'd y'all play? And I was like, and I told him, he was like, that sounds like an NFL stadium to me. Mm-hmm. Like, he said, sounds like you played in the NFL to me. And I was just like, I started laughing. But that made me realize that my dream definitely has come true. It just looked a little different than I thought it would. And it's a lot healthier of a career, and it can last a whole lot longer. So I'm very blessed. I don't deserve a lot of the stuff that's happened in my life. I know that. But at the end of the day, like I said, I get on my front porch and I talk to God and I hang out with him. And I think that he's put me on this earth to spread his message my way. And I just try to listen to it every day. It's different the way he wants me to talk about him. And like I said, this podcast, or this right here, it's like, this is another opportunity to talk about him and talk about how much I don't deserve him, but he's always there for me. He's blessed me, and I'll continue to write songs and continue to hopefully write better songs throughout my life that, you know, will touch somebody.
It's been tough, man. These last, whatever, I don't even know how many months we're going on with COVID. How badly are you itching to get back out there in front of the crowds, to perform, to sing, to do what you do?
Yeah, I think the hardest part is that's where you gain your, I don't know, that's where you look at your life and you're like, oh man, I'm doing something when you're on stage. And that can also be an unhealthy thing, because if you don't have it, you can start freaking out. And luckily for me, if this had happened 3 or 4 years ago, I'd be screwed. I don't know what I'd do with my life. Luckily through this year, I've taken the positives, I've written songs, I've hung out with friends that I'd never even had before. So a lot of positive has come out of this. And that's really what I try to focus on, because I think next year will be hold on tight. And the shaming part, the shame of it all is how much shame people are giving to people who are going out and doing something that they love. I got bashed for it earlier this year. And that's the sad part. I try not to focus on the negatives. I try to go out there and do my job. And I do my job a lot of times because I love doing my job. It's not even close to about money. You can look at, you know, the amount of money that I've made over my career. And I'm like, damn, I thought it'd be more than that. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't change a thing, because I love doing what I do. I love getting out there. And I'm ready for that feeling of people loving music and screaming songs again. And when that happens, I'll be ready to go.
Man, that's got to be like an incredible adrenaline rush, you know, when you're up there. It might be greater than anything you could do in on a football field. Tell me a little bit about your latest top 10 single, Lonely If You Are. It's on the album Part One, which is out now. How long did that take to come together, and what inspired that one?
Yeah, it's honestly, it was the first time I'd ever written with Hunter Phelps and Lindsey Rhymes both together. First time I'd ever written with Hunter. And he says a title. He's like, man, I got a song I kind of been wanting to write called Lonely When You Are. And I was like, kind of sounds to me like it should be Lonely If You Are, because that's kind of where I am a lot of the times. Two lonely people. It's like, no, I'm good. But hey, you want to hit me up? Let's go. That's where I was at in my life. Certainly when I wrote that song, it's not even a booty call. It's literally just someone you might want in your life. A lot of real relationships start that way. It's like, hey, I'm lonely. Hit me up. I'll be right there. And you start hanging out and you start realizing, wow, I actually like this person. So that's what that song's really all about. And it's got a really cool guitar part. And it's, we're done with that song now. Thank God. It's been over 60 weeks at radio, but it's my fourth top 10, I believe. So we had Gonna Want It Tonight, Ready, Set, Roll, Eyes on You, and then Lonely If You Are. So that's my fourth top 10, following a number one. And now we got another big, big song coming in December. And that's going to be my first ever collab that I've ever put out to radio. So I expect that to be a very big song, and that'll be a huge, huge start to the, you know, getting into 2021.
Well, Chase, man, I'm looking forward to that one for sure. Now I got you on my playlist. My wife's got you on the playlist. So we're mixing in a little Elevation Worship, a little Hillsong, a little Chase Rice. Can't go wrong there. I appreciate this conversation, man. I wish you a ton of blessings.
Dude, I appreciate it. Yeah, the next song is actually called Drink a Beer, Talking God, Amen. And that's what this year has been all about for me. Literally, it's been a year to sit back and reflect. It's been a year to sit back and actually just be still. And I've had so many conversations, whether they're sober or drunk, the truth kind of spills when you drink a little bit. And there's been so many blessings that have come out of the downtime that I've had this year, whether it's sitting over there in my fire pit, sitting out here at the other fire pit I've got. I love fire pits because you can sit around with your buddies. You can sit around with the girls. And just talk, and there's no TVs on. You're just sitting there talking about real life. I've had more real life conversations this year probably than I have in my entire life. So I'm glad for that. I'm blessed for that. And I think this next song is going to be pretty big.
That was Chase Rice. Such an awesome conversation. I know exactly where he was and how he's going through and what he went through, all of that. So very relatable for me. Thank you to Chase and Jack Youngblood for being guests this week. Big thanks to Doug and Pastor Scott for all their hard work for Faith on the Field show. Thank you to 97.5 The Fanatic Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee, and 107.5 Alive for airing Faith on the Field show. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.